Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Overnight America with Ryan Recker on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
Overnight America continues. A lot of people watching and listening today on Capitol Hill, and I kind of dread having to talk about this for the next couple of weeks. I really do. I want to thank again our special guests that were in last hour, the co-authors of 9/12, The Epic Battle of the Ground Zero Responders, Bill Groner, and also Tom Tyholtz. Make sure to check them out tomorrow at the Jewish Book Festival. That starts at 10:30 for them at the Jewish Community Center in Creve Coeur. Very, very much worth your time. And the neat thing about that is you get to hear the story in person. It's so much more impactful. And you can pick up a book, get it signed by them, and think of it this way, too. If you have anyone that's a history buff, or at least a modern history buff, this is what I would do if I were you. Go pick up a book, get them autographed, and hold on to it for, you know, a month, and then give it as a Christmas gift. I mean, that'd be a perfect thing for them. We focus so much on World War II, sometimes we forget about some of the very significant modern history, including September 11th. So go do it. It's definitely a good book. You look at Amazon, 5 stars. Everyone loves it. So this hour, something strange happened today on Capitol Hill. I don't think I've ever seen this before. When there's a hearing, there's always a lot of press and there's a lot of cameras, and they all go out there and then they camp and then they will find anyone that they can get a hold of that's willing to say something sensational, and anyone that can get in front of a camera and say something sensational is welcome to them. Today, that sensational camera grab was from a drag queen. I'm not going to really talk about it, but everyone was trying to get their moment with the drag queen. I don't understand how this isn't a circus at this point, but I've never seen this before. When Nancy Pelosi was out there giving her talk and she was talking about the hearings.
We are defenders of our democracy. And so I'm very prayerful, thoughtful, and actually sad today that our country has to come to a place where the president doesn't understand that Article 2 does not say that he can do whatever he wants, that he is not above the law, and that he will be held accountable.
Ooh, and then right after that, this was the strangest thing. I've never seen this in politics. She said, we're going to start introducing some of the people on the committee with theme music. And they started playing Emerson, Lake, and Palmer. And then the lights dimmed. Oh, it was insane. Nancy Pelosi, she was getting into it. Inside the shows of, and the laser lights were going, and the fog machine was going, and the politicians were going in like rock stars. And that was it. And the networks went absolutely bananas. They went crazy. This is the greatest thing they've ever seen. And that was it. Then they brought in Ambassador Bill Taylor and George Kent. And, you know, they talked for a while, U.S. diplomat George Kent and Ambassador Bill Taylor. But in the end, this is what the networks hyped. They said this is going to be the most important moment the Democrats will ever have when it comes to denting Donald Trump. Because I don't think anyone really realizes or at least wants to admit right now that a lot of these procedures, unless there's some Hail Mary pass or something crazy that's going to be presented, it doesn't look likely that it's going to be any factor in removing him from office. Sure, you can go through the impeachment hearings, and in this case, just the trial itself won't lead to him being removed from office, because you'd have to do something extraordinary to change the minds of all the people in the Senate, and that's not going to happen too. So they say this is the most influential day that the Democrats are going to be able to put forward when it comes to getting their way of removing Donald Trump. And then they were really hyping it, and there were, you know, everything was just really big. Laser light shows, fog machines, rock star mentality, all of. And then in the end, you start to realize these are the best two chances they had. I mean, these were the starters. These are the ones that, like, if you're going through the rotation, these are your top two aces on the mound that put out there, and they both failed, all right? They didn't yield what would have been necessary to get anyone excited or at least give them any hope of removing the president. So in the end, they got to find a way to spin it. They got to do their thing. And it's not a bad strategy by Nancy Pelosi to just play some Emerson, Lake, and Palmer to get everyone pumped up. Okay, I'm not doing that bit again. But I'm going to play a couple of the moments of the opening, and let's play first U.S. diplomat George Kent. But if you watched it on television or listened to it here on KMOX and you got some observations, give us a call, 314-436-7900. You can call or text that line, also 800-925-1120. Here's U.S. diplomat George Kent.
I stated in my closed-door deposition last month, you don't step into the public arena of international diplomacy in active pursuit of principled U.S. interests without expecting vigorous pushback, including personal attacks. Such attacks came from the Russians, their proxies, and corrupt Ukrainians. That tells me our efforts were hitting their mark. It was unexpected and most unfortunate, however, to watch some Americans, including those who allied themselves with corrupt Ukrainians in pursuit of private agendas, launch attacks on dedicated public servants advancing U.S. interests in Ukraine. In my opinion, those attacks undermined U.S. and Ukrainian national interests and damaged our critical bilateral relationship.
And something else strange happened there, too. I'm on a bit rant right now, but he had a bow tie on. I was just waiting for that thing to spin around. I was waiting for it. So the whole thing is, okay, I got this opinion, and this is what I think. But when it actually got down to the testimony and the questions, what we found was a lot of it was, well, actually, I don't have firsthand knowledge of it. This is my opinion, and here I'm going to speculate, and we'll talk about the motivations of someone I've never actually spoken to. And then, so it wasn't a strong showing for the first two witnesses, which Jim Jordan actually made a pretty good point. He said, you were their stars. You were their stars, and that's something that can come back and haunt them. Here's Ambassador Bill Taylor.
Last Friday, a member of my staff told me of events that occurred on July 26th. While Ambassador Volker and I visited the front, this member of my staff accompanied Ambassador Sondland. Ambassador Sondland met with Mr. Yermak. Following that meeting, in the presence of my staff, at a restaurant, Ambassador Sondland called President Trump and told him of his meetings in Kyiv. The member of my staff could hear President Trump on the phone asking Ambassador Sondland about the investigations. Ambassador Sondland told President Trump the Ukrainians were ready to move forward. Following the call with President Trump, the member of my staff asked Ambassador Sondland what President Trump thought about Ukraine. Ambassador Sondland responded that President Trump cares more about the investigations of Biden, which Giuliani was pressing for. At the time I gave my deposition on October 22nd, I was not aware of this information. I'm including it here for completeness. As the committee knows, I reported this information through counsel to the State Department's legal advisor, as well as to counsel for both the majority and the minority of this committee.
So if there was a lawyer there and this was being held like a regular trial, not an impeachment hearing, you would have heard the word objection about eight different times in the last couple of minutes, because they would have stood up and yelled, objection, hearsay, objection, speculation, objection. This is what would have happened. But since it's run in the Congress, when it's politicians that are ones that are doing the cross-examination or questioning of the witnesses, or maybe we should put quotes around that, the quote-unquote witnesses, because a lot of the questions that they were asking were things that they heard or maybe had an impression of what might have happened. Sometimes there was even answers for, like, George Kent, for example. I wasn't there. I was on vacation, but I kind of heard that this happened. You know, it's a couple of things like that. In a regular court, it wouldn't have worked out like that. And that's where I think you have to put this into perspective. This is all for political show. It's not for justice. It's for political show. I don't think anyone, if we were trying to actually get down to the justice, the nature of what happened, and just put out, let's say, present it like a regular court case, anyone would have looked at this and looked at it seriously. I mean, just the nature of things. Do I need to play that one bit again? So Nancy Pelosi, right when she was said, we're about to make sure we find the justice. We're going to make sure everything's laid out there and you can decide, America. That's when they started playing this song again. Okay, never mind. 436-7900 or 800-925-1120. I'm going to play some more clips from today and a couple of different statements that stood out. There was one moment, you know, you get your 5 minutes. Representative Chris Stewart from Utah, I thought had a good 5 minutes. There was a Representative Quigley over in Illinois who talked about hearsay, which was kind of interesting, the approach to it. And I had to message Brad Young about this to begin with. But we got so much to go to, so much to do, so much to see, so much. There's that Smash Mouth song that runs down everything we're going to be talking about. It's Overnight America, KMOX.
Now back to Overnight America on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
What's going on now is the single greatest scam in the history of American politics. The Democrats want to take away your guns. They want to take away your health care. They want to take away your vote. They want to take away your freedom. They want to take away your judges. They want to take away everything. We can never let this happen. We're fighting to drain the swamp, and that's exactly what I'm doing.
Overnight America. We're reserving this hour for your calls, your comments. And honestly, when we get these calls, I know there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be interested in just saying how useless today was in general, how useless it was. But this is what I'd like to do. I'd love to talk to someone that watched the hearings or listened to the hearings today. And you're thinking to yourself, oh, that Donald Trump, we got him. We got him. I would love to hear your thoughts on why. And I'll push you up to the front of the line if you're someone that is cheering on these hearings and you think they have been productive thus far into the impeachment process. 436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Now, don't get me wrong. If you think this is as dumb as I do, then please call in and tell me. Tell me what you're disappointed about. Tell me about some of the moments that stand out to you. How about you tell me what you think the odds are of Donald Trump actually being removed from office? Because as of right now, I believe those odds are at 0.5%. I mean, they're very, very low. There's a couple of moments here. Okay, here's Jim Jordan. He definitely made a name for himself. He was trending on Twitter for a while, and they kept making the point about not being a direct line to the person. It's mostly secondhand knowledge that was being brought up.
Ambassador Taylor, the gentleman asked if you could be wrong. Were you wrong when you said you had a clear understanding that President Zelensky had to commit to an investigation of Biden's before the aid got released, and the aid got released and he didn't commit to an investigation?
Mr. I was not wrong about what I told you, which is what I heard. That's all I've said. I've told you what I heard.
And that's the point. What you heard did not happen.
Okay. And part of this, too, is what you heard. And they were being pretty careful. So you had Ambassador Bill Taylor, who was extremely careful for his wording. He said, here, I'm just telling you what I heard. He's not trying to bring it up as a matter of fact, as in I witnessed this. Here's what I heard. And a lot of times, and it's only in these impeachment hearings it works like this. You know, you couldn't get away with doing a criminal case relying this heavily on hearsay. It would be a case, you'd have to be a crazy lawyer to bring it on.
Ambassador, you weren't on the call, were you? The president, you didn't listen on President Trump's call and President Zelensky's call?
I did not.
You've never talked with Chief of Staff Mulvaney?
I never did.
You never met the president?
That's correct.
You had three meetings again with Zelensky and it didn't come up.
And two of those they had never heard about, as far as I know.
And President
there was no reason for it.
President Zelensky never made an announcement. This is what I can't believe. And you're their star witness. You're their first witness.
All right. You're their star witness. And a lot of this has to do with hearsay. Let me play this one other clip and we'll start taking your calls at 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. In Illinois, Democrat Representative Mike Quigley had to bring this up because the idea of hearsay was happening so often.
I guess to close primer on hearsay, I think the American public needs to be reminded that countless people have been convicted on hearsay because the courts have routinely allowed and created needed exceptions to hearsay. Hearsay can be much better evidence than direct, as we have learned in painful instances, and it's certainly valid in this sense.
Yikes. Hearsay can be much better evidence than direct. Now, I'm no trained lawyer. I have watched Matlock growing up with my grandma, but I realized that hearsay is not as powerful as direct testimony, right? Let's take a couple of your calls here. And like I said, if you're someone that went through all of the hearings today and you're excited about the possibilities of removing Donald Trump from office, I'm going to push you to the front of the top of the line. You'll be the first one on at 314-436-7900. Greg's in Afton. Hi, Greg.
Good evening.
Oh, yeah.
I am. I listened to it. I watched it. Here and there, I even Twittered on it, especially to Representative Quigley, and I was very respectful when I did my tweets.
Yeah.
The idea is about hearsay. Hearsay, by definition, is unsubstantiated, semicolon, rumor. Mm-hmm. And by law, it is mostly disallowed. And I looked it up. Mm-hmm. I did my due diligence, and that's what I found out through my investigation. I do feel sorry for Mr. Quigley. He's going to have a problem trying to defend this,
mm-hmm.
and I do believe that what I heard today, when I saw today, it was the bureaucrats, the diplomatic corps that has been undermining, colluding against the president of the United States.
Mm-hmm. And I believe that if their strategy is, we're just going to try to get as many noteworthy moments in before the 2020 election. And everyone says, well, if you really don't like Donald Trump, then beat him at the ballot box. What they're doing is they're taking government resources, millions of dollars, by the way, millions and millions and millions, plus all of the direction that they're taking to try to just fatigue as many people as possible, that maybe they're using government resources in the same way they're accusing Donald Trump use government resources, which is against their opposition. So, and ironically, essentially they're doing the same thing that they're some people are accusing Donald Trump of doing, which is using the government resources against their political opposition.
Personally, and maybe I'm just being too optimistic, but I do believe in the good hearts of the American people. Even if you do not like President Trump, everyone can see this is wrong.
Yeah.
And all right. I do believe this will help to educate everybody, because which house creates foreign policy? A lot of people thought it was the House of Representatives. All no, right. Yeah. It's the White House.
All right, Greg. Good to hear from you. Thanks.
Take care.
All right, let's go to, is this Fran?
Yes.
Hi, Fran.
My concern, I don't know if this is a rumor too, is, or if this is fake news. They're claiming that Pelosi got money from the Social Security, administration to pay for this. Is this true? I hope not, because, you know, they keep saying
it's,
that.
It's not true, no.
I was just like, oh my gosh, so they're taking our own money and wasting it.
Yeah, you know, there's these satirical websites that look pretty real, and then you read the disclaimer on the bottom, and they are pretty clear that they're just for satire. And sometimes the satire is not meant for comedy's sake. Like, there's things like the Babylon Bee, for example, could be very funny in the way that, or the Onion could be very funny at how they approach some political fake news topics, you know. And then there's some that actually try to make it look like it's real, and some people fall for it. And then, you know, the next thing you know, it's going through social media. This was one of those things. It was from like one of those satirical websites. It's not a. It's
but do
not a
we
real
know
thing.
Where the money's where the funding is coming from? I hate to see that it hear that it's coming from.
I'm guessing it's coming from just how any hearing that would be done on Capitol Hill. I'm guessing that it's just like no other. I don't think they're drawing it from somewhere else. Mm-hmm. Okay, thanks, Fran.
Okay, sure.
436-7900 is the number, or 800-925-1120. I want to hear from you. You tell me what kind of emotions did this give you? Or if you're like, what's the guy on MSNBC, Chris whatever, he's got a thrill up his leg. If you got a thrill up your leg watching this, there's some weird things that thrill you. I'd like to know what you got out of it. It's Overnight America, KMOX.
This is Overnight America, sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com on KMOX.
Bum, bum, ba-da-da. Honestly, I thought people would be lining up to talk about this today. And this is, I feel there's probably a lot of people like me. out there listening right now, which is this is pointless to direct a lot of my attention towards right now. It really feels pointless. Like, I could watch it, I can pay attention to it, I can get the gist of it, you know, and, but it, what is it? It's the same thing over and over and over and over and over and over again. And you hear them go up, oh, I'm going to talk about this, and oh, I'm going to talk about that, and oh, I'm going to... It gets so boring, you get so much fatigue, and what are you going to do? You're going to follow this the next couple of days? One day was enough. So if this was their best effort, put on star power, it's not persuasive enough to, I think, change anyone's opinion on it at all. And I know there's people listening right now that are probably upset. And, oh, yeah, go ahead. You tell me why. 436-7900 or 800-925-1120. I have some more comments from President Trump, the closing statements that I think are important to play from Devin Nunes and then Adam Schiff. And then I also have a moment today that I really enjoyed the line of questioning was Representative Chris Stewart from Utah. And I was thinking about playing his entire 5 minutes because I thought it was very well done. But before we get to that, let's do some more of your calls. Let's go to Frank, who's down in Florida. Hi, Frank.
Well, why don't they impeach him and then cut costs, you know, cut the taxpayer costs?
I don't understand what you're saying. I'm sorry.
They could impeach him for all the stupid things he's been doing all these years. Like being a Republican, and then...
Wait, you want to impeach him for being a Republican?
okay, wait a moment. All right, wait.
Okay, I don't know if you're serious or you're trying to pull a fast one here. I don't know. It could go either way.
Just all the things he was doing. Well, I did not agree with him when the Nazis marched. It was a Nazi march, and then there was a riot between the two parties. That other group, I don't know the name of the other group.
Are you talking about in Charlottesville? Okay, so you had Antifa, and then you had some people that I forgot what the organization was, but the alt. It was the
there's Nazis.
There was a name for them, but they were. Yeah, I know what you mean, though. Okay,
that I mean that was the last straw
For Donald Trump.
I mean, World War II. Did I hear ever hear both sides? Did I ever hear FDR say both sides in World War II?
There were some good people. Well, do you know the whole quote? Have you ever read the whole quote or have listened to the whole statement? Because, I mean,
no.
They're very good at playing it out of context. It's worth your time to go look at the whole thing and see if that changes your outlook on it.
Well, I was going to say that he's been doing things that are just dumb.
Okay. Yeah. That's fair for you to come to that. Observation, sure.
You know, it's like he's bumbling. It's like he's bumbling. He's got no respect for the office. Then you got these clowns on the radio. Mm-hmm. I don't know where they're coming from. I hope they're not coming from WABC. that's a shock.
Yeah. Wait. So where are you at? Are you in Florida right now?
Yeah.
Okay, to be honest with me, are you just someone that's like likes to prank call radio stations, or are you someone that really has been following this? Just be honest with me for a second.
I've been following it.
You've been following it. Because, you know, this is very close and similar to a tactic someone that listens to a lot of talk radio would do to try to get like, you know, because I don't know why anyone from Florida would say WABC, you know? But
I'll take that. I don't know about...
That's okay. No, I'll take you at your word. I'm just saying this is very similar. Okay,
well,
but...
But they had good radio in New York. They used to have good radio.
Yeah. Okay. Well, hey, Frank, thank you for calling in. Good to hear from you.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Okay. I wonder if this conversation is going to show up on someone else's show now. Oh, listen to so-and-so. Frank called into the station in KMOX in St. Louis. It's funny because you can go to YouTube, and as a radio person, you see these prank calls pop up, and, you know, people get a good laugh on their blogs about it or whatever. And honestly, I really don't care. I don't mind being in on the joke. You don't have to try to disguise yourself and call into another station to say something like that. I mean, you can just call in with your opinions. I don't care. Let's go to Mary in Fenton. Hi, Mary.
Hi. Can you hear me?
I can. What's going on?
Thank you for taking my call. This is the first time I've actually called on the radio.
Oh, wow.
I have to tell you, I did watch the entire hearing this morning with all the guest speakers.
4 or 5 hours you sat there?
Well, I'm in between jobs right now. So anyway, and so I have to tell you, I am very passionate about our country and, you know, where it's headed in politics. And I was greatly disturbed by what I heard from the guests, the senators, well, from Trent, from Ambassador Trent, and or forget his last name.
Yeah,
Ambassador Taylor.
Yeah.
So here's the question I have. So what Ambassador Taylor is saying, they were trying to go through an alternate channel to do these, like, go through the process. Why have an alternate channel? What's wrong with the current ambassador there, current Ambassador Yovanovitch? Why was she thrown out? And you have to then think about this, too. During the Mueller investigation, it was found out that the son-in-law of President Trump was trying to establish back channels with Russia in order to gain a secret behind the scenes of communications. So if this is one instance, and because President Trump was exonerated, but he didn't go to trial after the Mueller investigation because of the stupid rule about the president can't be indicted. So he knows that he can take advantage of this situation. And I am wondering, as a U.S. citizen, how many other situations do we have like this that we didn't hear about because a whistleblower, who I think should be kept his identity secret because that's by law, how many other situations do we have in this current administration where we don't know what happened behind the scenes? I can't wait to see what will bear fruit from this investigation.
Right. I hope you said a lot of things there. So let me just say a few things here in response.
Let me just mention one thing also. Sorry to take time. I just hope that the GOP senators and House reps will not fall in line and do the right thing and vote their conscience with the American public's wishes and not their own political gain. That's all I have to say.
Okay. Thanks, Mary. Thank you. So there's a few things that Mary said there, and she sat and watched this whole thing on her couch with a bucket of popcorn. This is the greatest show on earth. So the few things I'll just mention that she brought up. One of the things, the back channels with the Trump's family, that really wasn't something that I think was really... That's not really a thing, all right? I think that's more a speculation, or that's interpretation of something that really, again, you can interpret it that way. I don't think that's a conclusion. And when you come to the Mueller investigation and the report, they came to the conclusion that there wasn't anything to charge him with, or if there was, there wasn't enough evidence to successfully charge the president with any crimes. So when you bring up the defense of, oh, you can't even charge a sitting president with these things, no, that was the defense that some people brought up as part of commentary, or even during the administration. They mentioned that we would look into that as a defense. I mean, even if it got to that point, but it didn't get to that point. The president didn't have to defend himself, because through the end of the Mueller investigation, the whole idea is we're going to present what we found over the course of a couple of years. Is thousands of interviews. I mean, they put so many man hours into this thing. And when they come to it, they say, here's what we're going to present. And then they looked at it and said, there's nothing that we're going to charge the president with. They came to that conclusion. We're not taking this anywhere. So it's that you can't really say the reason why he wasn't charged was because the president can't be charged. It didn't get to that point because it didn't have to, because the conclusion wasn't there to do it. So again, you got to be careful. I understand that you come into this thinking that, you know, President Trump is out there and he's, you know, gaming the system in order to try to evade charges. No, they're throwing everything they can. If they had the opportunity to do it, you better believe they would do it. They wouldn't hold back on it. The other thing that you mentioned was the whistleblower. So there's still question if this really technically counts as a whistleblower. So number one, legally, we may be calling it a whistleblower when technically it's really not a whistleblower situation. But number two, even if this is the case, if this is the basis that we're running these impeachment hearings off of this week, the basis is this whistleblower comes out and gives their account, and we're seeing the fruits of that right now, then I don't understand. So what are you saying? That you're thinking the whistleblower has been silenced for some reason? No. I mean, the whole idea of us going through this whole line of questioning, which is just all politically motivated to begin with, is because of the whistleblower going through all of this. So I think the whistleblower should have to testify. I think it's pretty lousy that if someone's accusing the president of the United States of a crime that's worthy of kicking him out of office, that they should at least be able to defend against that person, as opposed to it being some anonymous, here's some, you can't question us, you can't defend us type of statement. Just think about how dangerous that is in any aspect of life. If you didn't have the ability to defend yourself from an anonymous complaint, it would be like living in social media, but in real life. I mean, that's basically, you could just troll your president out of office if you didn't like the person. Let's say a Democrat wins the office next year, or 2024, whatever it is. What does it take? Just one anonymous person that doesn't have the strength or whatever it is to come forward in person to tell their story. That's all it takes. And then boom, president's out. They have no ability to defend themselves. Just think about the precedent set by something like that. So that's dangerous, too. I wouldn't be looking at the whistleblower right now as someone that has a high amount of credibility unless they came forward and actually talked about this. Let them, we already know the name. It's been reported a million times, the Carmelo whatever. What's the dude's name? I can't remember his name. It's Eric something. But it's been reported a million different times. And even Adam Schiff tried to deny it today, which is a laugh. But either way, don't get me started on the whistleblower. But Mary, I just wanted to address a few of the things you said. 436-7900 or 800-925-1120. I want to make sure we save enough time for everyone's calls, so we'll get to yours. Don't go anywhere. It's Overnight America, KMOX.
We are the voice of Cardinal Nation, America's sports voice, KMOX. Now back to Overnight America on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
I want to get to as many calls as we can before we get to the news. And then at the start of next hour, local government watchdog Tom Sullivan's going to spend some time with us. A lot to get to with him, too. So welcome back to Overnight America, 436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Let's go to Juan, who's calling in. Hi.
Hi there. Good evening. What a great job you're doing. I want to hope that you and yours and everybody is doing well getting into the holiday season.
Oh, yeah, I think so.
Yeah, did you get the tree and everything together?
Yeah, the tree's up. You know, the wife shamed me into putting the tree up.
You had me on the floor. I was cooking, and you had me on the floor laughing about the tree.
Yeah, and you know what she did today to try to help ease the pain a little bit? She made my favorite cookie, molasses cookies. She made a batch of molasses cookies up today, and she said, I'm doing this because I'm in such a good mood because of the tree. So she's trying to, like, show there's benefits to having the tree up. Like, she's paving the way to put it up early every year now.
Your dissertation on that was just so, you know, it could not be done so well. I mean, I was just, you know, me and my wife, we were on the floor. Let's go put the tree up, honey. We don't.
Yeah.
You know, go put the tree up. Put the tree up. You know?
did you watch any of the hearings today?
Yes, sir. I did. And I, you know, I have mixed emotions, quite frankly speaking, but I, you know, I'm a Navy, ex-Navy commander and a veteran, back during the Vietnam and Cold War, and, you know, around the Nixon days, and matter of fact, it's a great story. Hopefully that maybe, you know, I can maybe write a book about it. I don't know, but my mom cooked for the Kennedys.
Oh, cool.
Which I'm proud to say, because I used to help her, you know, here's all the Kennedys. I mean, we're talking.
Wait, did you call in once and have a Michael Jackson story?
No, I didn't. Oh, I didn't have a Michael Jackson story.
Never mind. I was thinking of someone else. There was someone that used to cater for some celebrities, and someone called in once about Michael Jackson. I thought, maybe that was you, but never mind. Go ahead. But what are your thoughts today, quickly, though?
Okay. You know, but I think the president is going to have to, as far as the political, you know, situation is concerned, two things. The president is going to have to be the president. We're going to have to be us as you know, America. And we're going to have to take things delicately. Certainly our government takes things delicately. So they're not going to just take the president and say, okay, you're impeached, get out, whatever. You know, it's not going to happen that way, and especially without obvious, you know, something that you really, you know, just blatantly put out there where all of America can see.
Right.
You have to get to the technical parts of it, what's behind the scenes.
Yeah, okay.
We don't know what's going on behind the scenes. You know, we're not in the Oval. We're not in Congress. We're not into, you know. So we don't really know what's really going on.
Yeah,
that's true. We can speculate all we want to.
All right, Juan, I got to get some more calls on, but thank you for calling in tonight.
All right, love you, man.
Thanks,
you.
Man. Thank you. Awesome. Cool. I'm glad you called in. Do it more often. Chuck calling in from Kentucky. Hi.
Hey, bud. What's going on?
What's going on?
I want to ask you a question before we go any further, if you don't mind. I'm going to ask you two questions, actually. I'm calling long distance with braces in my mouth, and I don't know your name.
Oh, Ryan Recker. So is this Ryan. The first time you've listened to the show?
Oh, no, not at all. I love KMOX. I live about 500 miles away from you folks, and I listen all the time. I listen every weekend. You guys have got an A1 station. I listen in the morning just to hear the Lord's Prayer music. I think it's a great place.
Okay.
But I got a question for you, bud. And maybe if you give me a chance to ask a question, we can talk. Because I don't want to make really any comments about what's already been said since I live so far away.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I can't catch everything right now, okay? That's just the way my electronic system is.
Okay.
I'd like to ask you if you are proud of our president.
Oh, that's a broad question.
The idea is, but the thing is, we live in a world right now where folks are not having enough food in their tables. We're living in a world with little kids who are dying in cages in the southern part of our country. No matter, I think this is true, and I may be wrong, but it's only an opinion.
Yeah.
I think that we need to look at those minute, detailed things, and we need to do it in such a way. I just was talking with your screener.
Yeah, and we only have about 30 seconds before we go to break still, but...
Can I hold on?
We have another guest coming up at the top of the hour. How about this? Are you going to be listening about a half hour from now?
Yes, I am.
Call back in a half hour. Can you do that?
You got it, bud. Thank you very much. And have a good night, everybody.
All right. Call back, though. All right. We have Tom Sullivan coming up at 10 o'clock, and we're going to revisit these type of questions. And I have a lot more to get to on the impeachment hearings coming up next hour on Overnight America.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.